And our first guest on Mountain Money this morning, we've got Deborah Barasini on the phone, Brad Bertosch in studio. They're here with the We Rock Conference that's coming up October 23rd at the Salt Lake Community College Miller Conference Center. Again, October 23rd. Looks like an all-day event from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And here's what they're going to be talking about. Why do investors have a tough time funding women-led companies? Ooh, Brad, I don't like these questions. Do women lack creativity, leadership? Are they less innovative? Do these questions make you uncomfortable or angry? Yes, they do, Brad. And Deborah, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having us.
Tell us, how are you going to answer these questions? Are they really true? Women aren't less creative or innovative than men.
Deborah, why don't you start?
The question was posed to spur people to start thinking about this, and as you stated, you know, maybe get them a little angry, because we want to show women and tell women that that there is a disparity out there, but we can overcome it, and we need to get everybody talking about it.
Now, you talk about getting folks angry. Is it systemic? Is that what women are fighting? Is it systemic challenges for getting funding, or why are we seeing the disparity between what men are raising in venture capital and women?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with you work with and you hire and you fund people who are similar to you. So historically, most of the venture capital firms have had male investors and were led by men, and like invest in like, and I think that that has a lot to do with it. But we're starting to get more women in venture capital, not significantly, but a little bit, and that's helping push the situation. Plus, there's a number of women who have started angel funds, which is sort of the pre-funding for venture capital, and they are looking at women companies. But the data is really depressing.
Well, tell us about some of the data.
Well, PitchBook data, which is a group that actually accumulates data on venture funding, said 38% of U.S. businesses are owned by women, but only 2% of the $85 billion spent in venture capital in 2017 went to businesses with all women executive teams. Now, while that's depressing, it's good news because it is the largest percentage of annual venture funding in over 10 years.
Now, Brad, you have 30 years experience in investing. Can you share with us some of your experience and what you look for when you're going to invest in a company, and whether you look at the gender makeup of the company?
Well, and these are great questions for Deborah as well. Number one, I don't agree with those questions, right? I don't think any of that's true. And boy, I'll tell you, if you knew my daughter and my wife, you'd know that's not true. But like Deborah would also say, you look at the management, you look at the value proposition of the company, you look at the size of the market. Can we make money doing this? And have these people made money before? Well, one of the things that I think is perplexing the angel community and somewhat the venture community is that in reality, about 98% of all entrepreneurs are first-timers. They've never done it before. Less than 2% are what are known as serial entrepreneurs. And the venture capitalists, that's who they chase. They chase the serial entrepreneurs. And the advantage is with the first-timers is if the angels, for example, can add value, early-stage investors can add value to those companies, they can turn those entrepreneurs into successful entrepreneurs and successful companies. And so if you're going to invest in a first-time entrepreneur, do you want to invest in a female entrepreneur, or do you want to invest in a male entrepreneur? Well, I think what we're seeing, at least some of the people I deal with, is that you want to deal with you want to invest in a female entrepreneur because they're more capital efficient, and be perfectly honest with you, they work harder.
Is capital efficient a good way of saying stingy?
Yes, I guess
tighter with their money.
Yes. Renee, you've heard me say several times on this show, I'm a frugal person. Yeah. Frugal people tend to be capital efficient. But being capital efficient, though, sometimes you need to spend money to make money, and so you want to make those wise decisions and make sure you're investing where you should be. But Deborah, I want to go back to your stat. You said that 38% of all entrepreneurs are female. And I've heard that number before. I've heard 40%. That tends to be a nationwide statistic. You know, the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers of the world. What about in the tech world? What percent of what traditional tech startup type companies are started by women? Because I think this is a place that the systemic issue begins.
Well, that 38% really focuses on growth companies. So it wouldn't be your butcher, your baker, et cetera, because a pitch book really looks at where venture capital is spent, and they only invest in growth companies.
Okay, so I'm wrong. That's not where the systemic issue begins. And you would say the systemic issue really is, if you look at the makeup of the folks that are writing the checks, whether it be angel investors or venture capitalists, those tend to be white males, older white males, and they're looking for people like themselves. I can see that. For instance, both Brad, you and I are involved in the Park City Angels. I'm on the board of directors there. I can tell you the Park City Angels is working hard to increase the diversity of the group. That's an initiative we've been doing for a while. Despite that, it's still predominantly, you know, older white males, and we're working really, really hard to change that. Deborah, what advice do you give to women, given that the reality is the audience that they're pitching to and will be pitching to for the next couple of years is kind of made up the way it's made up? Given that, what should women be doing?
Well, first of all, women should be tenacious, and they should not give up. Raising money is a very difficult task, whether you're male or female. And maybe the female has a few more hurdles to jump over because they don't have the right representation in the investment firms to really work with. But don't give up. Keep going forward and don't stop trying. With that being said, look for women investor groups. Look for women-led angel groups. Talk to women in venture capital funds. Try to find mentors. Try to find sponsors. We're really going to help you get to that next level. And that would be the thing that I would want them to take away.
Deborah and Brad, I heard an interesting statistic the other day that one of the fastest growing entrepreneurial groups are female Hispanic businesses. Are you seeing that, Brad?
Well, I think that that's probably true overall. In the tech space, I haven't seen a lot of that in particular.
Mm-hmm.
No. At least in this market, let's put it that way.
Can you tell us about the conference that's coming up on the 23rd? And if people are interested, how much does it cost? What can they expect?
You bet. The conference is coming up on the 23rd. There's two real exciting pieces to this conference. The first are women that are in the trenches that have experienced the problems of raising capital, giving advice as to what you can do and what you need to do as a woman to raise venture capital. That's the first half of the conference. And Trish Costello, who is well known in the angel venture community, is going to be our keynote speaker. Around here, Amy Reese Anderson, who people know from MetaConnect Global, is going to be another one of our keynote speakers, and she's done extraordinarily well. That's sort of the first half. Then the second half of the program is we have eight very exciting women-led businesses that we've worked with most of them, all but one of them, actually. And they're in the process of raising money. Some of them are getting ready to close. Some of them are still on the hunt. Some of them have closed. And they represent a broad spectrum of tech businesses and other high-growth businesses in the consumer product space.
How did you put this panel together?
With the help of Deborah, for example, and other women who are on the committee, I staff the committee, came up with who do we want to speak and what are the topics that we want to address this year. And so we outlined that way. And then because of what VentureCapital.org does, we've been involved with high growth companies. We had 25% of our companies this past February were women led. And so I was able to dip back into that and some other ones that have come forward that we've been working with and had them ask them if they would come and participate and make a pitch to a panel of investors and have those investors critique them briefly on their presentation.
So this is the second time you guys are holding. This is your second annual. And I'm curious, in either one of you, go ahead and jump in to answer this. You know, what did you learn from the first seminar, and how is this year's seminar different than last year?
Well, I think from the first seminar, we learned that there was a great need in the community to learn about how to raise money for your companies and really just given the women in the audience the opportunity to learn from each other. I think they've taken that information and really just expanded on it. The message is the same. The interest is the same. The need is the same. We just have to make sure we have more women there so they can learn about this.
It's really one of the things that is so helpful is to help develop a network of people that have access to capital. And so if women have a network of women that have had access to capital and meet other men who have access to capital, this helps a lot the process of being able to find money and find it quicker and not waste a lot of time chasing the wrong types of money.
So, Deborah, you started the company you're currently at least my research shows, you co-founded a company called InventCorp about 20 years ago. My notes say you're still at the helm of that company. What was it like raising capital 20 years ago?
Well, InventCorp is the fund manager, so we actually managed venture funds and debt funds. And I can tell you the first venture fund that we raised, it was tough. it was very difficult. And if you go back in time, you know, that was sort of during the dot-com boom and the dot-com demise. But I had two male partners, and we raised money together. So the fact that I was a woman was less important because I had two male partners. But today, I tell you, if I did it again, I'd have two female partners, and we'd just go out there and make it happen.
And why do you feel that way? What have you learned over the last 20 years, or what's changed over the last 20 years that makes you feel that way?
I think some of it has to do with the fact that I'm older and wiser. But really, I think that this is really a good time. This period of time is really important for women. And we have to strike while the iron is hot, so to speak. So the more of us that can raise money for companies, more of us that can start growth companies, this is really our time, and we just need to push forward and make it happen.
And what's going on that makes you feel this is women's time?
Everything that's going on around us, whether it's from a business sense, from a political sense, it is just, you mean, look at the paper. Every day there's an article, and of course, the paper's online now, but every day there are articles about women who have succeeded in one way or another. And it really seems to be a momentum that's building, and I just think we need to take advantage of it.
Brad, you mentioned earlier about helping some of these women-led companies with their pitches. It sounds a little bit like Shark Tank, maybe. What do you see? Is there a generality you see when it comes to women, when it comes to making a pitch versus men making a pitch?
You know, there seems to be no difference. I mean, it's all about establishing credibility, because usually when you're in a startup company, the only credibility you have is you. And so what have you done? What's going on? What is your value proposition? How have you organized things? Very, very similar. Are women maybe more flexible and more coachable than men? Maybe. Hmm. And I probably don't have enough experience, although we probably have done more women-led businesses than anybody clearly in this region. Hmm. But, you know, I think they probably are. You know, one of the things with Deborah, I want to comment just briefly, quickly, about what Deborah said about now's a great time. I'll give a shameless plug for another organization called the Women's Tech Council. 10 years ago, it got started, and it got started by several women that were entrepreneurs. Today, you go to, they'll have their big meeting right after ours, their Hall of Fame event or whatever they call it, and they're going to have like 1,000 women there. And you're going to see that of those 1,000, 1,000 of them work for tech companies in the state of Utah. There won't be that many entrepreneurs in that audience. But you know what? In the future, there will be, because that's how it all starts. You get in those tech companies, you rise up. It's what happens to men. You're in the software end of it. You're in the marketing end of it, sales end of it, management end of it, and then you start your own company. And this is going to happen here, and it's happening across the country.
You know, Brad, you bring up a good point with the tech companies and the focus, and that's where it starts. And in many regards, it does. Unfortunately, the tech industry does not have the greatest reputation for being an equal opportunity employer. Most tech companies, there's definitely exceptions. Companies like Apple publicly releases its numbers, states what their goals are, shares how they're doing on the goals. But it tends to be a tough environment for women still to this day. Not only just raising capital, but like being a programmer, and that tends to not be very women friendly. Do you think there's things that are changing outside of those few leaders out there to make tech a more friendly place for a talented woman to say, this is where I want to build my career?
Oh, I think so. And I think that if you just take a look at the marketplace, let me tell you, if you're not being treated well, you go off and you start a company and you compete. And you'll compete against that person. You'll end up probably putting them out of business or damaging them big time. And so do I think that people are becoming more and more aware of how valuable their assets are, male and female? Absolutely.
What about you, Deborah? What's your thoughts on that? You're based in Silicon Valley. What are you seeing?
Well, I would like to say that I see it getting better, but only marginally, especially in Silicon Valley, where really it has to take root. But there are several things that have happened here recently. And, you know, it starts from the bottom up and the top down. And our governor signed a bill requiring California corporate boards to include women. Now, that's been debated because some people think it's a great idea. Some people think it's an insult. But the point is you really have to do something powerful to really affect change. And by requiring corporate boards in California to include women, that means that there's going to be more women at the top who can end up coaching and sponsoring women through the ranks and to help cure that. But unfortunately, we need a lot more of that because it's not happening fast enough.
We just got a question texted in from a listener who said she wanted to know what investment groups are just for women in Park City. Brad, do you know of any?
You know, that's a really good question. I do not know of any groups in Park City that are just for women. Park City Angels have invested, in fact, very recently, in women-led businesses.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, because of the work that we've been doing really over the last 5 or 6 years to increase the diversity of Park City Angels, there are a number of female angel investors. So there may not be a group, but there's definitely access to female investors.
Good to know.
And then, Deborah, I know there's a couple of venture capital firms in the Bay Area that are owned, operated, and managed exclusively by women. Do you have one or two names you could share with us?
Well, I think people should come to the event because Trish Costello, who is one of the keynote speakers, she has a platform called Portfolio, which actually focuses on women-led companies. And I would say here that there is a little more openness if you have a female partner in a venture firm to look at women-led deals. So I wouldn't really tell somebody to just look at women-owned venture firms or women-led angel funds, but to find a woman in a venture firm who is in a partner position and really strike up a relationship with that person.
I'm looking at the conference website here, Brad, and it looks like your tickets start at about $25 for students, all the way up to $75 if you buy ahead of time, and a $125 fee
at the door.
And the proceeds go to?
They go to help fund this program and for the future of the program, as well as venturecapital.org, which is a 501c3 nonprofit.
And that's where I found it. So venturecapital.org. And if you click on events, that's where you'll see the registration for this event, which is Tuesday the 23rd from 8 in the morning until 6 at night. But there's a reception the night before as well, which might be a good way to network.
Exactly.
And that's at Church and State. I don't know where that is.
That is downtown in Salt Lake on 3rd East and 4th South.
Sounds like a fun place.
It is.
Well, great. So thank you very much, Brad Bertosch, Deborah Barasini. Doug, did you have one more question you wanted to throw in there?
If we have time, yeah, just before we go, Brad, I know you've been with venturecapital.org, which I know as Wayne Brown Institute, for 35 years. What would you like the audience to know about the broader mission of venturecapital.org?
Well, we have a very simple tagline. Start, find money, change the world. We want to help early stage, high growth businesses be able to do that and understand it, because so many of the entrepreneurs are first timers.
Yeah, it's so important to get mentoring when you're starting off. There's a lot of organizations that can offer. Few organizations have the legacy and the history of venturecapital.org. We thank you both for joining us. Again, the conference is October 23rd. Salt Lake Community College. You can register online and save some money as opposed to paying at the door. Deborah and Brad, thank you for joining us this morning.